BNS at 20 Minutes or Less podcast. Your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
It's Friday, June 22nd, 2018. I'm Beckler.
I'm Shauna.
You are off to Saskatoon again this weekend?
I am.
Say hi to Cliff for us?
I will.
We were going to go camping, but it's supposed to rain. And like camping in the rain isn't a whole lot of fun. Especially when you have little kids.
Yeah, no. No, even if you don't have little kids. Like, it needs to be sunny or else I'm like, why am I not in a house right now being comfortable? I don't fully understand.
That's what my dad always says when I say we're going camping. He's like, why would you want to live crappier on your time off than you do when you're working?
It's true. I mean, don't get me wrong. I do get some of the appeal of camping. But there are parts of me that go, you know, I wouldn't mind a cabin over a tent even, just because then you can stretch out a little, have a roof under your head. I'm a glamper for sure.
Yeah, I don't judge anybody that has a big $100,000 RV and pulls that out into the woods. You still get all the great part of being in the woods.
Yeah.
And then you just have a great place to come back to where you can shower and not poop on a tree.
Yeah. Poop on a tree.
My wife McKenna was on hold with our internet service provider yesterday, and she said the whole music was oddly pornographic.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Where is this? I wouldn't mind that.
She was caught off guard. It was like, almost like they were trying to throw her off, you know, in case you were calling to complain about your billing or your service. Mm. You know, like,
smart tactic.
Yeah, and I've heard that in negotiations there are these tricks that you can use. You know, very famously, Donald Trump, like, shakes the person's hand too hard and tries to throw them off, right? Uh-huh. Or I've even read that, like, Some people will like kind of subtly insult you almost. So you're like, what? And then your guard is up, and then, you know, you lose the advantage in the negotiation. Have you heard of that before?
Yeah, I've heard that type of thing before. Yes.
So
yes.
It's almost like the company was doing this with their hold music.
It's a distraction technique for sure. They just want to, you know, make you maybe forget about why you're phoning by doing that.
Yeah.
Because
you kind of get yourself worked up. You're like, I'm going to call. I'm not going to take no for an answer. And I'm going to tell them that I want my bill lowered or something. And they're like, oh, we'll show you with our oddly pornographic music.
Smart. Smart.
Okay. You be the woman on the phone, and I'll be the person who's calling.
Okay. Hello, sir. What can I help you with?
I would like to speak to somebody about my billing, please.
Okay. Please hold. Hello, sir. Sorry. What was that you wanted?
Yeah, sorry. I'm very aroused now.
please hold. Please hold.
I would like to speak to somebody, please. I want my bill lowered. I'm paying too much.
Please hold, sir.
You know what? Never mind. The bill is fine. Sorry to have bothered you.
X92.9. So I have a new item on my patio, and as always, any plant out there, we name after a Canadian musician, right?
I can't even keep track of everything you have out there right now.
Well, we've got Nelly Connifertato, Matthew Wood, Perennial Young, and then my squirrel friend, most recently, Fryan Adams.
Right, because he's got that electrified-looking tail.
Yeah, he's got a tail. It looks like he electrocutes himself on the regular, so Fryan Adams is his name.
The plants together are known as the Tree Party,
the
right?
The Tree Party.
Right.
Yes, so there we go. That's everything.
So what's this new thing?
It's an owl. Now, it's obviously a fake owl, not a real owl hanging out there. But because there was that dirty magpie that tried to kill Perennial Young at one point, I got an owl to keep him away, right? Because those fake owls are supposed to help. He's a clay owl.
I didn't even know that.
Well,
that owls will scare off magpies?
Yeah. Well, they'll scare off birds in general. My parents have a pool in their backyard, and so they have those fake owls around to try and deter the birds from pooping all over the deck. So that's...
These birds are supposed to be so smart, and they can't tell the difference between a clay owl and a real owl? Or are they just not taking any chances?
I think they just don't.
They'll move on to the next patio and eat someone else's.
Like, well, that may
perennial.
Be fake, or it may be real. Well, let's not chance it. Move on. Yeah, for sure. So I need some names for my owl. Of course, the one I thought of right off the bat was Owl Lady Peace, but I'm like, that's kind of too easy.
That's already better than anything I have, so...
See, the thing is that you always have really good ones and you claim they're bad, but
no,
they're so bad they're good sometimes.
I have Aldo Nova, which is just... Like, that's half the people listening have no idea who Aldo Nova is, so I would call that a fail.
No.
What else? And then I have Owly McNarland, and that's terrible too. I'm sorry. Oh, I apologize for those puns.
You know what? You know what? I'm good with... Okay, I've got... I just thought of one more here. The Guess Who... Because owls hoot, you know? Like, or the Guess Who, which you could go with that as well. The Guess Who.
The Guess Who.
Yes. The Guess Who.
But it has to be said like that, right?
You can only say it that way. So anytime you see the owl, oh, it's the Guess Who.
Perennial Young's being protected by the Guess Who.
I just feel like you've lost it. You've
That's better than Owldo Nova. I'll give you that. No, I was reading this story online the other day, and this is kind of a two-parter. The story itself wasn't all that fascinating. It was the source of the story that I found so interesting.
Okay.
So the story was about how the United States has identified a missile site that Kim Jong-un has said he would dismantle.
Right.
And it doesn't look like the dismantling has started yet. But
right.
And I was thinking, okay, so it's not going to surprise anybody if he doesn't actually follow through with this promise. But also, it's only been 9 days since that summit.
Yeah.
So maybe they need a bit more time to start the process of dismantling.
Give them some time, yeah.
They're finding a crew right now.
Yeah.
But the most interesting thing to me, though, was that the article I read was from Reuters, which is one of the few outlets I can think of that have almost no political slant at all.
Interesting, yeah.
Like, when you read a Reuters article, like, most outlets you could read and you're like, okay, well, this is a left-leaning outlet or a right-leaning outlet, but Reuters, like, you can't. And it was to the point where I had to read the article a couple times to really understand what was going on, because it wasn't like, it wasn't attacking anybody. It had no opinion at all. It was just like, this is exactly what was said. This is exactly what happened.
So they have to use neutral language that sometimes
yes.
makes you go, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we've just become so used to reading, like, when I read an article, I already have my guard up and I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, what is this article trying to accomplish? Because I feel like every article nowadays, particularly when it deals with Donald Trump, is either, it has a goal in mind.
Yep.
It's either trying to attack him or to support him.
Yeah. And let's be honest, that's probably intentional, right? Because it's still about ratings, so people want you to read their articles. So they're going to have to appeal to someone or the other. Going neutral doesn't really appeal to anybody. It's not going to draw anybody in. You want to have some sort of sensationalized headline or something, right?
Absolutely. And I think that's a great point. The headline is where you often find an outlet's editorial bias, right?
Yeah.
I think there's still a lot of journalists doing really good work, but mm-hmm. then an editor will slap a headline on it. And the headline is what grabs you, right? It's what makes you click. And then you read the article and you're like, well, that's not really what the headline said at all.
Yeah.
So,
and we're in the age where people are going to read 5 or 6 words. And if they
yes.
don't like that 5 or 6 words, they're moving on. So that's why they do that, right? With this headline. And it's sometimes to make you happy or go, oh, I agree with this. I want to click. And sometimes it's to make you go, this is ridiculous and I want to read more. Either way, you're
yeah.
getting that click, right?
Absolutely. And I think that's why maybe you don't see a lot of Reuters articles shared.
Mm-hmm.
You see more of the sensational stuff shared,
because
right?
it doesn't infuriate you. You hear that and you go, oh, well, that's the information. Now I'm going to move on. Whereas if it's sensationalized, that's when people want to share it.
Yeah. And we need more Reuters in the world, I think. And they're obviously not perfect, but here's an example of how committed they are to neutrality. They refuse to use the word terrorist in any of their articles mm-hmm. because they feel that's a loaded term.
Right.
And the quote I read was like, one person's terrorist is another person's freedom fighter.
Yep.
And they took a lot of heat after 9/11 because they wouldn't refer to the attackers as terrorists. The only time they'll use that word is if they're quoting somebody else who used the word.
Interesting.
But they'll never insert that. They'll never, like, in an act of terror, they'll never put that in their articles because they want to be completely unbiased.
You know, I took a news course in school and we were told not to use that word. And it was for that exact
really?
Reason. Yeah. And I remember when I first came to like into radio and was on the air and had to read about whatever news story or something, and they'd use the word terrorist, and I really struggled with it for a while, even though it was right in the article and it was like, no, they confirmed terrorists. I still like really would struggle using that word because I was taught not to in school.
Because people have their own ideas of what a terrorist is.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. And you don't want to be the person who sensationalizes and uses that word first. Right. Because
right.
then people are like, well, why would you? That's no, you're putting a label on somebody that's not there yet. Like,
and Reuters just never uses it.
No.
Even after 9/11. Like
yeah.
that is some damn commitment.
That's neutrality right there.
Yeah. Since it is Friday, we get to award our second ever podcast listener of the week.
So our podcast listener of the week for this week is Sarah D. And she says, I saw a wild skullet today. So she was talking about the skullet, and we actually did wind up chatting about it on the show as well. But she said it was the regular bald on top and long in back, but with an extra special touch that the long portion was 2 feet long dreadlocks.
So Sarah D was the one who spotted the dreadlock skullet.
She spotted the dreadlock skullet in the wild.
She told us about it because she knows that's something that we'd be thrilled about.
Yep.
And for that reason, and that outstanding contribution to the show and to the podcast, Sarah D is our listener of the week.
She ended with saying, love the podcast. Great job. So thank you, Sarah D, for listening. And for please report to us when you see a skullet like that. Like when you see a magnificent skullet, we always want to know about it.
Yeah, describe it in detail. Please. Tell us about it. Where you saw it.
Like the more detail, the better.
Like you're filling out a police report, but it's for a skullet.
Yes, full description, please. Actually, if you could draw a little picture as well and send that to us, we'd really appreciate it.
You can get in touch with us by our email or social media, and every Friday we'll award somebody the Podcast Listener of the Week award. And we'll send you a Vancouver Soft t-shirt, Sarah, because we have a lot of those.
Yeah, a lot of them to get rid of.
The BHS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
So Mike Shinoda of Linkin Park has a new song out, a solo song. Have you heard it yet?
I haven't. No, I saw this, though.
Here's a little clip. So this is the main.
Wow, very different, hey?
Very different.
Sounds like a pretty good song.
It's I'm a fan. If you're a Linkin Park fan, though, it's a lot more mellow, and there's a lot of synth involved with this.
Way poppier, yeah.
Yeah, so I was like, I know a lot of fans who are a little bit disappointed, because, of course, they want the heavier Linkin Park stuff, not this. And I was trying to think of bands that are actually better, or people who have gotten better after they've branched out and done their own solo thing.
Like who came from a successful band and then went solo and had more success?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really tough thing to do. Because
it's really tough to do.
Usually you only get one chance as an artist, right? And you'll be associated with the first thing that made you famous.
Yeah. And a lot of time when it branches out, it's just like, yeah, it's not what you want. It's not what you're expecting from them, right?
Yeah, and your fan base, like, they're expecting this from you because that's what they know you for, and you want to do something different, or...
Yeah.
Who would be bigger as a solo artist than the band they started with?
Like, there's some obvious ones I can think of, like Justin Timberlake.
Right, yeah. He's had way more success as a solo artist than he did with NSYNC.
Mm-hmm. Beyoncé?
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Of course.
Yeah, way bigger Destiny's Child. What about Phil Collins? I think Phil Collins' solo stuff was probably more successful than Genesis.
I would agree. Yeah, I'm way more familiar with Phil Collins. Of course, I wasn't really around in the big age of Genesis.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you could argue both ways, too. I'm not, maybe Genesis was massive in his prime, and you know, Phil Collins is just what's sticking around now. George Michael of Wham?
Yeah, that's accurate. Yeah.
Arguably better.
Or even if you wanted to consider that Michael Jackson was originally a member of the Jackson 5.
And there's some like that, right? Where they way earlier in their career were in a band and then they branched out, but it's like nobody really knew the band. So that's, I find that a little bit different. It's when your band is successful and then you go off and try and do a solo career and that is also successful. That's like winning the lottery.
No kidding.
Twice, yeah.
And you're probably still making money from that original project and then also all your solo stuff. And you can go on tour and maybe play stuff from both if you're...
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't, like on a much smaller Canadian scale, I'm a big fan of Joel Plaskett, who started out with a band called Thrush Hermit. And they released a couple records and had a bit of success, and then his solo career has been way more successful. So
yeah, that's a good one too.
And then there's instances where the solo artist pretty much was the band.
True.
Right.
Like, what's an example of that? There is some like that, too. I know. It's tough because when you start thinking about it, I'm like, I feel like there's a million of these and I can't remember them.
Yeah.
I can't. There's some other solo artists that I feel like are on the tip of my tongue. What are we missing?
So, Default and Dallas Smith.
Oh.
White Zombie and Rob Zombie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hootie and the Blowfish and I can't remember. Darius Rucker.
Darius Rucker, yeah.
Just three there.
So I would agree. Dallas Smith has probably, well, has he had more success than Default?
I think so.
Has he? Because you got to remember, like, Default was big back in that, like, Nickelback Theory of a Dead Man time. Like, those bands were doing really well.
I'll have to look up
who has more album sales, because Dallas Smith is big now. Hootie and the Blowfish, Cracked Rearview Mirror is one of the best selling albums of all time. So I doubt Darius Rucker has outsold that on his own.
Yeah.
And White Zombie, I think that's probably a pretty good example of, like, a band that basically was the lead singer, right? Like, Rob Zombie was White Zombie, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Those are great ones, though, man.
Those are awesome.
I was going to say, I don't know if it counts because he's not really solo, but Dave Grohl.
Yeah, but the Foo Fighters wouldn't have outsold Nirvana yet, would they?
I don't know. Well, they're pretty big, right? Like, if you think about, like you were saying, Nirvana was big in its day, too, like back in the 90s, which seems like not that long ago, but it was like, 30 years ago.
Right, and they only had three records.
Exactly, right? And the Foos, like, it was Dave pretty much by himself in his basement for the longest time, and then, they're huge now. I mean, they're, like, one of the only bands that could, like, sell out a stadium.
Yeah, yeah, that's
they
a good point.
They pull out Calgary every time, right?
They probably played bigger shows than Nirvana ever played, so...
Exactly.
Hey, and the Foo Fighters are basically Dave Grohl, so...
Right, yeah. So, it's not really a solo, but it is basically Dave Grohl. So.
Basically, yeah, it's Dave Grohl with a different band name. So, yeah, that's...
Yeah,
you could make a real strong case for that, man. What's your name?
Steve. Okay, how about this one? This one's huge, because everybody went huge after NWA.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a really good one.
Yeah.
All of them were probably had better solo careers than...
NWA.
Than as a group, yeah.
They were like a reverse super group.
Yeah.
That's a great point,
man.
That was
the platform for them all to butt off and do their own thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
A reverse super group. That's a great one. What's your name?
Brad.
Scott just tweeted us and said, Alexis on Fire is nothing without Dallas Green. And I was like, well, yeah, but City in Color is definitely... I think bigger than Alexis on Fire.
Yeah, that's a really tough one because they both headline festivals. They both draw huge crowds.
Yeah.
Wherever they go.
They do.
And for Dallas to have that kind of success into like vastly different types of music is really something.
Yeah.
Like that's quite an accomplishment.
That's crazy. Yeah, like the fact that you can go and then completely... I think maybe that's the best way to do it though, because we were talking about how if there's any similarities at all, people will be expecting, for example, Mike Shinoda and Linkin Park, they want the Linkin Park sound, even though he's off on his own, right?
Right. So if Dallas would have come out and tried to have another Alexis on Fire style career, people would have been like, well, this is an Alexis
exactly.
on Fire, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a good point.
Maybe like completely branching away, that's the best way to do it. We were talking earlier about Default and Dallas Smith.
The other famous Canadian Dallas.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we were asking which one was more famous, and I was looking up Default, and I didn't realize how big their first album was, but they had tons of success. They sold over 1 million copies with their first album. So it means that I think they were bigger by quite a bit.
Yeah, but it is also tough to compare artists across...
That's the problem.
Different times like that, because when that first Default album came out, people would have been buying records.
Yes. So it was the fallout. The thing is, they had success in the States with a lot of their singles, too.
Right.
That's where I think I go, okay, because Wasting My Time hit number 2 in the States on their main rock chart, which I didn't realize, and then Deny was number 7, and they had 5 other singles that also charted in the States on top of in Canada, whereas Dallas Smith, it looks like he's had a couple songs that have touched in like mid-30s range on the U.S. country chart, but that's it.
Lots of success in Canada.
Yeah, and it's all singles. Like, he's hit like gold in all of his singles because that's how people are consuming music now. So it's kind of tough to compare that way because...
It's almost like comparing athletes across eras.
Yeah.
The game changes so much and it's hard to do. So music is kind of the same thing, isn't it?
Ozzy, Dave Matthews, and Matt Good.
Ozzy, Dave Matthews, and Matt Good. So do you think Ozzy was bigger than Black Sabbath?
Yes.
You think so?
Really?
Well, I mean, Sabbath is huge, but like when you think about... Like, when you think metal and you say Ozzy, what do you think about? Crazy Train or Bark at the Moon? Like, it goes across the whole back history, but Ozzy is the front man. Ozzy was bigger as himself than ever as Sabbath.
Yeah, although Sabbath continued to have some success even with Dio, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I'm going to give you that one.
Man, that's tough. That's a tough one, though. That's a really good one to bring up.
But, like, Dave Matthews' band, I mean, he was the front man of the entire band. Like, that really counts for anything. He kind of is the solo artist.
Yeah, it's like Matt his Good band, right?
Matt Good balanced between being the Matt Good band and Matt Good, so.
Yeah, and, in that case, like, I can't name you another member of the Matt Good band. So that the band was basically him, right?
Yeah.
He always took credit for saying he wrote everything. He is really talented. He's just a dick.
I bet there was not a lot of suggestions from other band members that Matt really considered.
No.
He probably was.
I don't think so.
Knowing his personality and from what I've heard, no, not too many.
No, a lot of suggestions landed.
No.
You just kind of kept quiet and played your part, I think.
Yeah. So. Don't you know what this band is named after?
Whose name is on the kick
Me.
Drum? Whose name?
Yeah.
I'll hit the snare drum,
You will speak when spoken to. This is Matt Good's band.
I did didn't ask you for suggestions. Shut up.
I'm sure somebody's probably already said it by now, but I was going to say Gwen Stefani.
Nobody has said that yet.
Really?
No. Yeah. And she was way bigger than she was with No Doubt, right?
Yep.
Yeah, No Doubt.
How many children do you have?
Do dogs count?
You're going to have some more on the way.
You've been listening to the BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast. You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's alternative X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have BNS in 20 Minutes or Less downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.